alive. It's alive. It's alive. It's alive.
Dominic Lawton can be wild. Welcome to the Bad Movie Cult.
Welcome to the Bad Movie Cult podcast. My name is Dominic Lawton, and I am joined by my little helper, Ken B. Wild.
Ho, ho, ho!
It's time for the Christmas special here at the Bad Movie Cult, and we've got a right treat for you. A good old-fashioned Christmas stocking stuffed under the tree, full of goodies.
Full of shit.
It is, of course, the 1964 Nicholas Webster Yuletide classic, Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
Blast off for the most wonderful science fiction fun and adventure a boy or a girl or a grown-up ever enjoyed. Meet Billy and Betty as they encounter the fierce Martians. It's so exciting, so amazing, you'll want to tell all your friends about that wondrous day when red-faced Santa meets the green-faced Martians. You'll see it all when Joseph E. Levine presents Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. From the moment when the spaceship kidnaps Billy and Betty, here are some of the incredible things you'll actually see as Santa Claus conquers the Martians. You'll hardly believe your eyes as a giant Martian robot captures Billy and Betty. Evil Boldar imprisons Billy, Betty, and Santa in a space death chamber. Will they escape? The people of Earth give the signal that sends their mighty Air Force into space to rescue Santa. Surprise meeting. Earth kids meet Martian kids. Santa sets up a fantastic automatic toy factory on Mars. The Martian leader battles the wicked Boldar in a desperate effort to save Santa, the wise man of Mars. 900 years old. The Battle of the Toys, when Martian kids and Earth kids join Santa to battle the bad guys of Mars. Space age fun. You'll be out of this world when Santa Claus conquers the Martians.
S-A-N-T-A-C-L-A-U-S, hooray for Santa Claus. So I've got a plot for you, Ken.
Go for it.
The Martians kidnap Santa Claus because there is nobody on Mars to give their children presents.
Oh.
It's a tale as old as time, isn't it?
It's a nice sentiment, I guess. I mean, they could just give their kids fucking presents, couldn't they?
Yes.
Maybe.
They could.
Cut out the whole plot of the middleman thing.
Mm.
You know, that would be something they could have thought of.
I mean, yeah, well, we'll get into it.
I don't know.
Some taglines for you.
Oh, really? Go on, what, from the 64?
Yeah.
Go on, then. How about these top OT Christmas tree?
Blast off for Mars with Santa and a pair of Earth kids. Science fun fiction at its height.
Science fun fiction?
Yeah.
Wow.
Did you like that one?
No.
Oh.
At its height. Imagine how shit the rest of them were. They're claiming this was like the pinnacle of science fun fiction.
Santa Claus saves Christmas for the children of the world.
Yeah. Nice.
Santa kidnapped by the Martians, out of this world, fun and action, as two Earth kids are whisked away with him to Mars.
That's a synopsis, isn't it? That's not a tagline.
Aliens attack the North Pole. Who will save Christmas?
Nobody. Lee Majors. He would have.
The seasonal sci-fi spectacular.
I don't know.
It's not the
worst.
They
could have put sci-fi in there, though, couldn't they? If they're going to go for, like, the alliteration of S. Sci-fi's in there. Why not?
Mm.
It's the whole purpose. Otherwise, it could be any Christmas film, that.
C, like in S-E-E capitals, then a colon.
Ooh, I don't want to be seeing that at Christmas.
Christmas colon.
Oh, kids. Check out my colon. Merry Christmas.
The Martians kidnap Santa. Santa's North Pole workshop. The Fantastic Martian Toy Factory. Earth kids meeting with Martian kids. Spaceship journey from Earth to Mars. Santa turns Mars robot into a mechanical toy.
Like
headlines shouting on the corner of the street.
And pretty much everything that happens in the film. They just go on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is this like the novelization of the film?
New, never seen before, in space blazing colour.
This is what you need in space, isn't it? Colour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, Santa brings Christmas fun to Mars.
Oh.
Any of them?
I don't like them, no.
No?
No.
Oh, that's surprising.
It doesn't matter, I didn't like the film.
It's alive! It's alive! It's alive!
So this film kicks off, Ken, with a theme song.
Yes, and what a kickoff it is.
Do you like this theme song?
I really, really do, yes.
Yeah,
I
thought so.
It's one of my favourites. Since OK Connery. I don't like it, no.
Oh.
Because the kids sing Santy, don't they?
They do.
I don't like it. I don't like that. I never have.
Hooray for Santy Claus.
Yes. It's not too difficult, is it? Just to stick to it being Santa.
No, it's the same. So, like, they're not adding anything.
It doesn't do anything else, does it? It doesn't add anything except irritating me more. And, I mean, this is just the opening couple of seconds, so you can imagine how much I enjoyed the rest of the bloody film.
I like the thought of you sitting watching this one.
I watched half of this at work and half at home.
Yeah.
And I didn't enjoy either half. No, and I felt like a prick both times. So.
Some lyrics for you, Ken.
Oh, brilliant.
Hang up that mistletoe. Soon you'll hear ho, ho, ho.
Oh.
On Christmas Day, you'll wake up and say, hooray for Santa Claus.
You don't want him bloody not getting off with you in the night, do you? Mistletoe. These are children we're talking about. They've got no knowledge of the mistletoe.
That's true.
We don't want any of that business going on. That's disgusting.
Yeah, Santa.
Ban him. Cancel him.
Cancel Santa.
Exactly. There we go, that's the pitch.
There we go.
When society cancelled Santa.
Yeah.
The movie. Not Santa Claus, the movie, obviously not. That exists.
Yeah, that's, what's that, Dudley Moore?
Yeah, we can't be bothered to go back with that one.
We get an and in the credits for this.
Do we? Go on, I've missed that one.
And John Call as Santa Claus.
Oh, yes.
Big John Call.
They could have put Santa Claus as himself for the kids.
Yeah.
You know, that would have been a nice touch.
They also put costume designer, but with a U instead of O at the beginning there.
What? Who was costume designer?
Costume designer.
Really?
Yeah.
Bloody idiots.
After all that whimsy, we get driven back down to earth with a news broadcast from the 60s.
Yeah, for the kids, because, you know, the kids couldn't stop watching the news back then, could they, in the 60s? They'd love to see, what's going on in Vietnam, Mum? I don't know, put the telly on, let's have a watch.
It's KID TV.
It certainly is.
Special report, first in history, TV crews are at Santa's workshop.
Yeah, imagine that.
That's really cool. It's imagine seeing that on TV when you're a kid.
I must say, it would be better than the Vietnam stories, wouldn't it? Yeah, I think, probably.
Only joking. Over to Vietnam.
In the carnage. Go on, get stuck in.
The camera pulls away and we're actually on Mars watching the news.
What the bloody hell's happening?
They've got two kids sitting there. But what are your thoughts on the look of the Martians?
Yeah, very good. Very convincing. I mean, was this made in colour, this film? It was, well, it said it was, wasn't it, I guess?
Yeah.
In one of the taglines.
Yeah.
It's not very good, is it?
No.
It's kind of like just dirt.
Yeah.
But I think they're supposed to be green. They were kind of greenish in parts, I guess. And other times just looked at all, a slightly black face and just generally shit.
It's that they're wearing turtlenecks.
Yeah. I tell you what, they're great antenna. Well done, everybody. That's that's their classic Martian.
Yes.
That's the only difference there is, really, isn't it? They're green and they've got antenna. Yeah. Other than that, they're just humans.
They're wearing helmets as well.
Oh, well, sorry, of course, yeah. Although, I don't know why.
No.
Because it's their atmosphere, isn't it? So they don't need helmets to breathe or anything. So why have they all got helmets on? I guess for the antenna.
Maybe that's their heads. That's what their heads look like.
Maybe. Yeah. And they wear soft, fleshy hats when they ride motorbikes out in space.
Yes.
Who knows?
I think so.
It doesn't cover it in the film. You'll never find out from here.
I'm just laughing when these are revealed and Ken just watching it. Just watching the reveal of the Martians.
Yeah, really, really good.
Just blinking very slowly.
I think that's probably where the budget went.
Yeah, I think
the
so.
Realistic Martian representation.
It's either that or the sets, because some of these sets in this are absolutely superb. It's like when they're in the North Pole, it's like watching The Thing, like John Carpenter's The Thing, isn't it? And that's what I thought we were watching at one point.
Very much so, yes.
Anyway, we cut to Andy Henderson at the North Pole, and he gives us a bit of a stand-up comedy routine.
He does, doesn't he?
Yeah.
It's good for the kids.
He's saying all they've eaten up there is frozen food. At least that's the way it is by the time they get it. Oh, Andy.
And he also says it's minus 91 up there.
Whoa.
It's not. It fucking isn't. I've had a look. It doesn't get that cold in the North Pole. Here's some facts for you. In the summer, the average mean temperature is 32 degrees Fahrenheit, which is it's just 0 degrees centigrade. Mm-hmm. So it's just frozen. But in the winter, it drops to minus 40 degrees Fahrenheit. No, it's not 91, is it?
No.
So I don't know what the fuck Henderson's on about.
Embellishing for the kids.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, what if they set the internet on?
Yeah,
then, what if they ask their dad? And he's just like, oh, it's not fucking 91, I tell you that.
Yeah, I'm turning that off for this fucking idiot. What's he doing?
Turning that off, right. Anyway, I'm off to Vietnam. Fuck you.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be interviewing Santa. He's only got a certain amount of time and he's too busy giving us his fucking stand-up comedy.
And making up facts about the temperature. Idiot.
Tell you what, though, he's got one of the finest I'm cold acting performances since Jack Nicholson in The Shining.
Yes. Very good. Very good indeed. I was cold watching it.
Yeah.
But then I was naked.
Yeah. And outside.
Yeah, and watching through the window. Yeah, that was at work.
Anyway, in we go to Santa's workshop and we see little elves. There's elves.
They're all around there.
No sign of Pat Morita.
Sadly not.
They're all ignoring Andy as he says hello to them. They're not interested in him.
No, they've got work to do, haven't they? I get paid to chat shit to Andy Henderson, of all people.
Yeah. Just weeks before Christmas, and Santa is working overtime to make sure there is enough toys for all the children in the world.
Oh, bless him. You'd have thought he could have started earlier.
Yeah.
I don't know what his schedule's like, but he's pretty much got fuck all else to do all year, has he? So, you know, maybe just time management up there. Maybe that's what he needs. I don't know. Just guessing.
Yeah, that's what Andy says to him anyway when he first introduces himself. We do. We see the big man himself smoking a pipe, fucking about with a wooden cart.
Yep, laughing to himself like a madman.
He laughs way too much in this. I know a lot of, you know, Santa laughs, but he just laughs too much. Too much of the whole film.
I don't know if you can laugh too much.
I didn't think so either until I saw this. And then it turns out, yes you can.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, I don't think anyone listening to this has ever laughed too much.
No, well, that's right, to be listeners. Expected.
or at all.
Andy says, you know, he's hard-hitting journalism, hard-hitting questions, and he gets him with, tell me, is the rumour true you're going to use a rocket sled? And Santa says, no, you silly bollocks. We're using reindeer.
Like always, you fucking madman.
Prancer and Dancer and Donder and Blitzen and Vixen and Nixon.
I think he says Donga.
Donga?
He gets his Donga out.
Oh, God.
Donga and Nixon, of all things. Nixon.
Richard Nixon is one of his reindeer. He says consarnet.
Does he?
He says, "Consarn it, I always get the names mixed up, but the boys and girls at home know their names, don't you?" And he points at the camera at us, at you.
Yeah, I did. I rattled them off like Arnie in the Jingle All the Way.
And running up the road.
And then I ran off the road. Yeah, up
Sinbad
the road.
After you.
Yeah, it took me an hour to get home.
Yeah. I've put this as a harrowing look at Santa sliding slowly into dementia.
Yeah, and then we get an interesting little snippet of his home life.
We do.
And isn't this just a reflection of every person's home life? Every man out there, it doesn't matter who you are, you can be fucking Santa, the nicest guy in the world, you're getting on with your work.
Selfless.
And your wife would just come in and bollock you for something. And that's what happens. She comes in and has a go at him. I don't even know what for, but she does. Because why not? That's his wife. And then he says, "Do you mind, I'm on the fucking telly." And she goes, "You what? Oh, bloody hell, I'm on telly as well." Gets all embarrassed and yeah.
Has just a psychotic break.
Yeah, and then just knocks Andy Henderson out with a frying pan.
Yeah. They all laugh their asses off at her just doing this weird dance around. She looks down the camera at us.
Yeah, says hello.
Fun fact for you, Ken.
Go on.
This is the first on-screen appearance of Mrs. Claus in any film.
Fucking hell. And that's how she enters, is it? Just coming in and having a go at everybody.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. I don't know why she caught on as a character.
Yeah, Santa gives us a tour of his the new toys for this year. He asks how Winky is.
It is little Winky. Hey, look, everyone. Look, kids, it's little Winky.
He's in charge of the space department at Santa's workshop.
Yes, of course. He's very, very organised after all. He's even got a space department with Winky in charge.
Winky the elf.
Yeah, his brother's Wanky, of course.
Yeah.
He's busy in the corner. I don't know what he's doing.
I've put, he's in charge of the space department as well as satisfying Santa's sexual needs that Mrs. Claus can't help with.
Yep. That's where Wanky comes in.
Santa shows us a new toy rocket that runs on real rocket fuel, so that seems safe.
Yeah, well, it was the 60s.
Cheap for all the family, cheap for the kids to run. Just a load of rocket fuel under the tree for everyone. Andy asks him instead about a toy Martian on the side there. Winky made that. That's his idea of a Martian, says Santa.
Yeah, the idiot.
Amazingly detailed and correct, as it turns out. Where does he get his sources from?
Oh, I don't know. It's very special sources, probably.
Mm, especially if Wanky's about.
Wanky's special sources. That's his department.
Andy then questions Santa on if there really are people on Mars.
He said, "How the fuck do I know?"
Yeah, you've got Santa in front of you, and these are the questions you're asking. Rocket sleds and Mars. Well,
so what's your favourite ice cream? He said, "Fuck, what the fuck's that going to do with anything?"
I'm Santa. This is the first ever interview. You can ask me anything.
Yeah, what's the point? How about that?
Yeah.
Why are we all alive, Santa?
Yeah, Santa says he doesn't know. And Andy says, "Well, if they are, I hope they have someone like you up there, Santa, to bring joy and good cheer to all the Martian children." I like how he says shit like this and moves the microphone over to Santa. Like, what the fuck's he going to say to that?
Like that? Okay.
Yeah. I'm not interviewing you, Santa. I'm just saying statements at you so that you have no response. Santa ignores him, tells Winky to keep working hard as Christmas Eve is coming soon.
Tells Wanky to crack on and then crack off, as it were.
Cut back to Mars, and there's an adult Martian dressed as goofy as the kids, except even more so as he wears a cape.
Yeah, fucking hell, this character.
He's called Kemar. He's the leader of the Martians.
Not him then. Sorry, not him.
No, not him yet.
Oh, right, sorry.
He's looking for another Martian by the name of Droppo.
That's the fucker. That's the bastard I was after.
You love Droppo, don't you?
Oh, yeah, he's my favourite. I've actually called him Groppo all the way through. I didn't realise it was a D.
Guapo.
El Guapo.
El Guapo.
No, I thought his name was Groppo. Groppo. I made the spelling up, obviously. But yeah, that's what I thought his name was.
And what he's doing is he's asleep under the table, Droppo is.
No wonder he couldn't see him.
Yeah.
He's in plain fucking sight. You can see him from where he's walked in.
Yeah.
He's the only thing under the table for a start. He's a fucking same size as him.
I mean, this is Mars, and it's very sparse when it comes to decoration in the house and things like that, isn't it? It's literally just a table, two chairs, and Droppo's underneath it.
Yes.
Kemar uses a cattle prod to wake him up.
Yep, quite right.
But it's not really a cattle prod. It's a tickle ray. The Martians have a tickle ray.
Isn't that lovely?
Why does Kemar have that?
To tickle my Droppo. little game they play around the house.
He extends Droppo's antenna out of his helmet and demands that he gets up. He tells him that he is the laziest man on Mars. Why were you sleeping on the job? And Droppo tells him that he wasn't sleeping, it's just that he hasn't been able to sleep the last few nights, as he had forgotten how to sleep.
We've all done it.
He was just practicing, you see. What a delight this character is. I'm sure Ken loves him, is my note.
Oh dear, he's really, really funny. Right from the off. He's made me laugh non-stop since he was introduced. What a prick.
He's blatantly, this actor is older than Kemar. It's just this sort of middle to late.
Yeah, he's like a failed clown.
He is, isn't he?
He's a failed clown who's auditioned for this part. He's got given it and he's still acting the clown.
They were going to remake this, you know, and do you know who they had cast to be Droppo?
Eddie Murphy.
No.
Rick Moranis.
Jim Carrey.
Fucking hell. That's a step up, isn't it, from this sad sack. Jesus. Who was the rest of the cast then? That's an expensive fucking shit little extra character.
That's the only one. The only one cast. And then it never came to fruition, unfortunately.
And then they said, Jim Carrey, would you like to be in it? He said, no, fuck off. And they were like, right, forget it then.
Well, fair enough.
Understandable, thank you.
This is quite well loved in America, I believe, this film.
Is it? Well, America, well done. It's because they grew up with it, I guess. And it's one of them. I mean, I've never seen this film until now.
Yeah.
And I'd not missed it.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't think, oh, I wish I'd seen that as a kid. And I still hated it.
Because it's a public domain film, I think it was played a lot on free TV over there. Like, I think like It's a Wonderful Life is another one that's free to air. So like that's always played over there as
Very
well.
Similar, I believe, as well in tone.
Yes. And obviously also this film came back into public knowledge through Mystery Science Theatre, so that's probably also why it's well loved, but probably not when you're watching it without the jokes, as we had to.
No.
Anyway, more on Droppo, Ken's favourite character.
Yeah.
Kemar asks him where his wife Momar is.
Yep.
And Droppo tells him that she's at the food pill store getting food pills, because it's Mars, you see.
Yeah, so they don't have normal food, but they have pills, which actually replicates normal Earth food, which is quite specifically Earth food as well. Yes. The ridiculous menu she reads out.
Yes, she's gone to the pill store on the account of children not eating well at the minute. Kemar blames it on them watching Earth programs on the video set all day.
That's right, Earth TV.
Yeah. It's
the same thing we get over here, isn't it, with the kids?
Yeah.
You know, get them outside. Obviously, they might float off in Mars, but over here, you know, get them outside, get them playing. But there is no fucking playing up in Mars, though, is there? That's what it all turns out in the end.
Sad. It's very sad.
It is a sad story. I was very upset by the whole thing with the poor little children.
Many layers.
Yeah. It was very, very upsetting. But, you know, I soldiered on.
Kemar points at a door and it opens for him. That looked good, didn't it, that bit?
It was very good, very effective. I like, I believe the children ask a question. And it's a beautiful question. And it's, what is tender loving care?
Yes.
What a lovely question. But having to ask it is heartbreaking.
It is.
You know, having never experienced it and having to ask what it is.
Mm.
I was moved to tears. I moved to the fridge, actually, and got a beer. And I carried on.
Santa's on the TV, and they're showing us. He's showing us a doll that walks, talks, cries, and even shits its pants.
Yeah, it does. It's baby oopsie daisy.
Calls Santa a fat fuck.
And then shits on him. Merry Christmas.
They ask what a doll is. They don't even know what dolls are.
Of course they don't.
They don't know what dolls are. They don't know what tender loving care is. Kemar sits behind them, scowling at the whole thing. This hitting a little too close to home, is it, Ken?
Yes. It's been me since mid-November. As soon as Halloween's over and the Christmas adverts come on, this is me sat in a corner, angrily staring at the TV.
The kids are called Bomar and Germar.
It's weird names, aren't they?
Yeah.
Weird names.
Everyone else's is fine. It's just these two.
No, it's just like everyone's name seems very similar.
Mm.
I don't know. I mean, Mars is pretty big, isn't it?
Yeah.
You've got to imagine the population be quite large.
Mm.
But Maybe it's family. Maybe it's family because obviously Droppo doesn't sound like them. Droppo also sounds like a clown. The name itself sounds like a shit clown. But yeah, I don't know. Chemo, of course, as a dad. That sounds awful. It'd be called Chemo.
Chemo.
That's it, yeah.
Chemo. He's very ill.
He's not been well, his dad. Father.
His antenna have fallen out. Anyway.
Hilarious.
Chemo bollocks his kids anyway for asking what love is and tells them to go to sleep. Stop watching Earth programs. Does that hit close to home as well, does it?
Yeah, it does, yeah. Usually I'll just play them I Want to Know What Love Is by Foreigner and just wander off. It's a lot easier.
Momar comes back with the food pills. She hopes the children will eat them. We've got. She shows us them on the table.
She does, yeah.
There's hamburger.
Yep.
Buttered asparagus.
Ooh, not buttered sausage, unfortunately, for Gary Busey.
What?
Oh, I can't believe you've not seen the Gary Busey buttered sausage.
What's that?
One second, listeners.
Buttered sausage. Talk about buttered sausage, where it comes from, what it does. Why is it doing what it's doing? Get it out of my face. What about buttered sausage?
That's not your jam. It's not your thing. You don't like it?
It's not my jam. I don't buy jam. I buy honey, and I kiss it on the lips. Let's talk about buttered sausage.
What the hell's he talking about?
Apparently, it's not even him. It's a deep fake.
Oh, nice.
But it's one of the most convincing because who would ever suggest that wasn't him?
Exactly.
Just,
that's very
just
true.
Talking about buttered sausage.
You just accept that to be true, don't you?
I certainly did. Yeah. Very upset to discover it wasn't. It was merely somebody mocking a mentally challenged man.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, it's a shame.
That's a lot of hate. That's more than welcome on this podcast.
Yes. I'm through with hate, I'll tell you. Well, no, actually, not until after this film, at least, because I fucking hated this. So let's crack on.
There's also mashed potato pills.
Mashed potato.
And as a special treat for them, chocolate layer cake pills.
It's very specific, isn't it? Could have just said ice cream, just gone generic.
Or just chocolate.
Yeah, but no. Chocolate layer cake. Black Forest Ghetto.
The Black Forest Ghetto. That was Ken's wrestling name for a while.
He was, yeah. Yeah. Never shaved the old manscape. Welcome to the Black Forest.
Ghetto.
Yeah, it was all covered in cream and jam. It's disgusting.
So that was a review for the podcast.
Yeah, my mum wrote it.
Chemo mentions that he had to use the sleep spray I've put in quotation marks on them again.
Yep.
Another tool Ken knows very well.
Oh, yes. Yep.
Nothing says Christmas like sleep spray.
Christmas parties.
Yeah. Classic.
Treating me well since the 90s, though.
He's worried about the kids and found out today from the council chiefs that it's happening to every child on Mars.
All of them. Imagine that.
I can't imagine it. No. Kids just being sad all the time.
It's like being in my house.
Yeah. Momar tells him that as a leader of the Martian people, it's up to him to sort this out.
Yeah, that's nice of her.
And she tells him to go to the forest and see Chochim, the Ancient One.
So is he like the leader of all of Mars?
Yeah.
Fucking hell, that's a tough gig, isn't it?
That's why he's got the cape.
I suppose, yeah.
It's worth it, isn't it, when you get to...
I suppose if you're going to get a cape, you fucking go for that job.
Yeah, and the house that he's living in.
Oh, beautiful.
It's worth it just for the house.
And sexy, sexy Momar.
She is, to
be
fair.
She's a MILF, isn't she, that alien?
Yeah, Martian, I'd like to fuck.
Yeah.
MILF.
Yes, please. I wonder what a vagina looks like.
And he's got a really lovely forest-like house, hasn't he, Chochim?
It's just not. There's nothing there, is there?
It's loads of cobwebs.
Yeah, well, I suppose, yeah.
It's quite nice.
I tell you who's not happy about all this happening. You know, a member of the councils. There's one, isn't there, that's not happy.
There is. What have you called him?
Boldar.
No.
What's his name?
Voldar.
Fucking hell.
Boldar, Chemo and fucking Groucho.
Was I watching this underwater? How have I got all this fucking wrong?
What did you call Droppo?
Groppo.
Guapo. El Guapo.
Yeah, Guapo, Chemo, and Boldar. Massive rock star.
He's fucking big, though, to be fair, this guy, isn't he?
I liked him. I liked him.
I knew you would. His moustache.
Yeah, I think if you've ever seen Toast of London, the Matt Berry show, over in America, of course, Matt Berry, he's getting a bit more popular. He's like Ray fucking Purchase.
He does look a bit like Ray Purchase.
He's reminded me throughout of Ray Purchase throughout this entire film.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you don't know who he is, tough shit.
Yeah, this guy's actually massive.
Yeah, I like him. He's my favourite character, even though I've called him Baldar all the way through. Anyway, he's not happy. He doesn't like any of this.
He's pissed off at the whole bloody thing.
He's angry. He doesn't even know what's going on, but he hates the idea of having to even meet.
Kimar turns up and they call on Chojin to appear before them.
Which he does.
He does. Cloud of smoke.
Yep.
I've put he looks like something from Fraggle Rock.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Mm.
Which one? Not one of the little fucking doozers, whatever they would call.
Just a
Fraggle.
Do you know who he looks like? I don't even know what character he looks like. One of the Muppets from Muppet Christmas Carol. That's like,
yeah, that'll do. Which one?
Yeah, that's what I mean. He hasn't got a name. He's just on the streets, like begging.
In the background.
Yeah, but he looks like one of them.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, listeners.
Well, you know, one of those things in the background or something.
There's like a purple-haired sort of humanoid-looking with a
there's
stick,
long hair.
Yeah. One of their mates.
Okay, go on then.
He looks like Chojin. And he's a reedy voiced fuck, isn't he?
Yeah, I didn't like him. I
hate his voice.
Oh, yes.
Kimar tells Chojin that something is up with the children of Mars. He says they eat not, they sleep not, and spend all day watching Earth programs on the video.
Mm-hmm.
Chojin asks, what time of year is it now? And Kimar says, it is the middle of September.
Very clever, isn't it?
Very, very close to...
It is close, but... Alien. You know, but nonsense.
No, 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 says Chojin. On Earth. And he says, ah, yes, it is early December on Earth, close to a time of the Christmas. That explains it. What is a Christmas, says Voldar, just fucking annoyed by the whole thing. Chojin says it means Japanese sword.
And they all nod and just accept that.
Chojin says it is an occasion for great joy and peace on the planet Earth. It is also a time of anticipation as they await the arrival of Santa Claus and his gifts.
Hmm.
Voldar says, bah!
He does, yes.
What nonsense. He says bah quite a lot, doesn't he?
Of course he does. That's the antithesis of Christmas, isn't it? The word bah.
Yeah, and humbugs.
Exactly.
The mint.
Yeah, see?
What the fuck has this got to do with our children, you old bastard? Says Kimar.
Mm-hmm.
We have no children on Mars. They have children's bodies, but adult minds. No childhood.
What?
I was like, what the fuck's he talking about?
I didn't even know what fucking time of year it was. Now he's telling us all this. Fucking hell.
He didn't even know it was September.
Bloody selective knowledge from this guy, Joachim.
He's seen it coming for centuries, Ken. Info fed into the minds of babies plugged in at the crib. And by the time they are able to walk, they're adults.
Fucking hell. So he's seen it coming for centuries, done fuck all about it until now.
He's been living in the fucking woods. No one's ever come to see him, probably.
That's why he doesn't know what time of year it is, I guess.
They've never learned to have fun. He's just banging on about it now. He's like, we get it. Everyone keeps turning to go away and then he pipes up again. It should be pointed out during this monologue that he's face on at the camera, but then staring upwards at the roof.
Or reading his lines from maybe a bit of paper.
Or maybe, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
And Kimar says, yes, 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 but what do we do? He says the children must be allowed to be children again. They must learn to play. What it means to have fun. We need a Santa Claus on Mars. Or a Santa Claus with muscles. If Voldar's up for the job.
If old Baldar's is going to do it.
And then he dies, I think.
He explodes, I think. And then he explodes.
Jesus.
That's probably why no one's come to see him before. It's a one-chance option.
You call him,
that's why he kept piping back up. He's like, wait, I've got more.
He has a touch of yogurt from Spaceballs about him as well, doesn't he?
Yeah. I liked him, apart from his voice and his appearance. And everything he said. One of my favourites.
And how long he was on screen.
Yeah, I like the fact he exploded. There we go.
Voldar laughs for no reason.
Yeah, he's evil. That's why.
Because Kemar says the only Santa Claus is on Earth. And Voldar says the old man doesn't know his tits from his dick. Let's ignore him.
Plus he's exploded. So it doesn't really fucking matter.
What a waste of time. It took fucking ages to get here.
I was in the bath. And I've had to fucking come for this.
Left the missus with the tickle stick.
Yeah, she'll be asleep when I get home now.
Yeah. She had to start without me. She'll be in bed.
Fucking El Guapo, he's running riot. Still worth it.
Despite Voldar's protest, Kemar decides they're going to go and kidnap Santa and bring him to Mars.
Voldar, he does try and salvage something by deciding, let's just blow Earth up. Let's kill everybody we find at all. Which, you know, I think he'd enjoy that. He'd probably be a bit more chipper to go along, wouldn't he, if that was the case?
And me. I wish he had. It'd have done me a favour.
I wish he had. Yeah, why not? Sooner the bloody better.
Yeah.
Right, listeners?
Right.
The sooner we're all dead, the better. Hooray! Merry Christmas.
What are your thoughts on the spaceship they're travelling in, Ken?
It's futuristic.
Bloody hell. I couldn't believe it. The budget. They're all sitting around a table with some cardboard on the top, I think.
Yep, they are.
At one point, Kemar asks to fire portside rockets, and it sounds like someone lets a fire extinguisher off. And they all do a little move. Like, oh, bloody hell.
Yeah. Turns out, there's fucking hundreds of Santas. They're checking it out. They're having a look on some sort of incredible CCTV footage that they've got. That's very, very futuristic, though, isn't it, if they can do that?
Voldar says, it's like looking for a speck of space dust in a comet's tail.
That's nice, isn't it?
And that is, yeah.
What a good take on the needle in a haystack shit.
It's like finding a needle in a haystack shit. That would have been better.
It's like finding a shit in a haystack. It's not what you want.
Yeah. It's like finding a shit in another shit. You're just covered in shit by the end of it.
If you're rooting around looking inside shit and expect to find anything but other shit, I don't know what your game is.
Yeah.
Wouldn't happen up in Mars.
Turns out Earth have spotted them as well. So not only are the Martians confused by the fact that there's a Santa on every corner in every city in the world, they're also spotted. And there's a news report instantly on it.
Yes, it's immediate, actually. It is, isn't it? It's just an immediate report.
Yeah, and we get stock footage of tapes whirring and radar dishes moving about. Lots of stock footage in this film.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, it's about the best bit about it.
We do get a report that there are no satellites that have been launched by Russia at the moment, so it can't be them. So, you know, we let them off on this one.
Yeah.
It was the 60s. We only let them off that once, I think. Everything else, fair game.
Yes. It turns out the Martian radar shield hasn't been working, and they just don't know why. How have they spotted us?
Yeah, they shouldn't be able to, because their technology is so advanced that they have a blocking system, and it's not working. And the only way to find out why it isn't working is to open it and have a look. And it's a big old box with radar detection shield or some bollocks written on it. And they open it up. And you'll never guess what they find.
It's a shit.
Pretty much. It's El Guapo.
It is.
It's Droppo. He's in there, fast asleep, like a big sack of shit.
He is, yeah.
What's he doing in there? His own fucking quarters. He lives in the fucking leader of Mars's house. Why is he sleeping in a rocket?
He does his shtick, and Kemar tells him to get the fuck out of there. He's basically saying, I came here to check the landing, whatever, and then I thought, oh, I've never been to Earth. So he decided to...
Yeah, just fucking tag along.
Step away, yeah.
Little bastard.
Kemar says, I might as well just throw you out and leave you here so the humans can kill you, or something like that. He says, but get out of my sight. Back to the newsreader with an update. The object has disappeared. Either it burned up in space, or it may be a spaceship from some other planet which has the ability to nullify our radar beam. Sleep tight, folks.
After the stowaway's been removed from the radar detection device.
Like that.
We just don't know.
It's like either it burned up in space, or, and then comes up with exactly what it is.
Oh, we'll all be dead by morning. Good night.
Merry Christmas.
See you again.
There's footage of the Air Force scrambling into fighter jets.
Yep, I like that.
Meanwhile, the Martians, they land. and they chat to some kids called Billy and Betty Forster.
Mm-hmm.
They're just chilling out in the woods, these kids, and they're like, I wonder if there's Martians, I wonder if they're real. And the kid's like, I'm trying to have a sleep here. Shut the fuck up, yeah, to his little sister.
And his sister's like, why are we outside? He's like, I don't know.
Yeah, winter.
In the middle of the fucking night. It's freezing. What are we doing out here?
Yeah.
Don't know. Good night.
New York as well. That's where they were, I think. That Billy's got a New York accent. So they're in New York in the middle of winter.
Forget about it. What are you doing here, aliens?
What are those things sticking out of your head?
Me? Oh, sorry.
Says Betty to Kemar as the Martians turn up.
But isn't Betty a girl's name?
He says, that's our antenna. And she says, are you a television set? Everyone laughs except Voldar, who says, what a stupid question.
I said the same, at the same time as he did. No, I didn't. I actually said, oh, you prick.
Yeah. No wonder you're homeless, living out in the woods. Your parents have just left you there like Hansel and Gretel.
You're a fucking idiot.
The Martians ask where Santa is, and Billy tells them that he lives at the North Pole, thereby dooming Santa to an eternity on Mars.
Yeah, well, what done. A snitch. I believe the word nincompoops is used at some point in this little back and forth. I think it's probably Voldar that says it, because, you know, he's very aggressive.
Yes.
And there's nothing more aggressive than the abuse of the nincompoop.
That's true. Voldar goes to grab the kids to take them with them, but Kemar says no. And then Voldar says, what? And leave them to tell the authorities?
Yeah, I think he just wants to kill them. I think that's his main option there, is let's murder these little children.
Yeah, I mean,
again, if you just let him get on with it, he'd have been a lot better of a company on the mission, wouldn't he?
To be fair, he's constantly said he doesn't want to do this, but he's there, and he's probably the best one there, because he's all, like, for every issue they have, he actually solves
practical.
It.
Yeah, he's quite practical, isn't he?
And
evil, perhaps. You know, with the heavily leaning towards killing and destruction, but
gets things done.
Yeah, gets results. So you want on your team?
You would
the Maverick, Boulder.
You would say Boulder.
The bald ass.
Bald ass Chemo and Groucho.
That's who you
Guapo.
Need. And the MILF.
You would say, there's no way that anyone on Earth would believe two children that Martians came up to them and asked them where Santa was.
Like Billy and Betty Forster. Of course they would.
True. Yeah. The other Martian that's with them says, Voldar's right. They need to take them with them.
He says, shut the fuck up. Who the hell are you?
Yeah. I didn't even write his name down. He is in it quite a bit, but I never bothered.
No, I didn't write it either.
News travels fast as it's instantly reported on the news that the kids are missing.
How did they know the kids were missing? So that means that somebody knows that the kids are out there sat by a tree in the night. Why would they let that happen in the first place? And then, you know, why? I just don't get who's reported it.
Probably the parents.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah. Bobby and
Billy.
Billy's the kid.
Yeah! Oh, yeah. Bobo! Named after him.
Yep. It was in New York. Cowboy country.
All right. He says that it's not the first thing to go missing today after the UFO disappeared, and we're given more stock footage of planes refueling in midair.
Which is obviously, that's connected, isn't it? Two children vanishing from the woods. Don't forget that UFO, everyone.
Yeah.
That also vanished. Hope nothing else vanishes, otherwise it's just all linked, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, you ever lost something and immediately attributed it to alien invasion?
All the time.
Yes, me too.
Droppo gives the kids a tour of the ship for some reason.
Yeah, just shows them loads of shit, doesn't he?
Talks them through all the buttons, including a light that flashes when someone's coming through the navigation deck to the room they're in. That's useful.
Everything turns out to be useful at the end, doesn't it? All of this like extraneous knowledge that he's passing on. You just think, why are you telling me this? At the moment, you would be thinking that. He's thinking, what the fuck is this all about? I don't care. Yeah, and then obviously it all comes into play later. So well done.
Sure enough, the light starts flashing.
Holy shit, straight away.
Droppo hides the kids in the radar box that he was sleeping in earlier, and just in time because the rest of the crew turn up. Voldar, he goes to look inside it because Droppo's acting like a cunt around the place.
As per.
And he goes to lift the lid up, and as he lifts it up and he goes to peek inside, Kemar calls him back to say they're about to reach the North Pole. So it was a lucky escape for the kids.
Phew.
and Voldor says that they need to keep Billy and Betty forever as it will cover their tracks with the kidnapping of Santa. He says, no one on Earth will ever know that Santa was kidnapped by Martians.
Dun, dun, dun.
I mean, that's the first thing I would think of. Mm-hmm. That sentence is ridiculous.
No, it's not, no.
No.
No, it's perfect.
As if anyone would believe those two little shits is my note.
I tell you what else, though, they're going to do. Now that they've landed, he wants to deploy Torg.
Oh, you got that one right.
Oh, yes. Turd. I got Torg. No, I thought Torg.
He's going to the toilet.
Wasn't Torg the big blonde guy from Jim Carter?
I believe he was, yeah.
I was hoping it would be him.
Yeah.
It probably wasn't, to be honest, but, you know, for the purpose of this.
It does sound right, though.
It sounded like something like that. But yeah, hoping it'd be him. He'd turn up with his little metal like
pants,
bracelets, yeah, and his metal pants.
Yeah. That's the one that the hero is like loves him, but never mentioned him before.
Yeah, that's him.
Kemar puts the plan in place as they land and says they will activate Torg to help with the kidnapping. And once the coast is clear, Billy and Betty they exit the radar box, and their plan is to let Santa know what is about to happen, as well as messing with the radar itself.
Yeah, they sabotage the bloody place. They sabotage the radar shield.
Yeah.
Bloody children, eh? And somehow they disembark the ship before anybody else, yeah. Even though they all fucking left before the kids came back out of their hiding place. No idea where they'd all gone. Probably for a quick pint.
Billy Forster says, if this ship leaves Earth, they will have the whole US Space Force after them.
Perfect. Space Force?
Yeah.
Wow. It was the 60s.
Yeah. Voldar's late getting off the ship, and Kemar has a go at him for it. And Voldar says, well, I'm the only one that really knows what the fuck he's doing here. So I actually went and had a look at the kids. And they're not there, they've fucked off.
That ladder that they all climbed down, that looks a bit dangerous, doesn't it? It looks at a health and safety risk.
Well, Voldar nearly fucking broke his neck, didn't he, when he came down?
It's like it doesn't look very steady for anybody.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, I don't know. I don't know about who's checking their equipment. Well, probably the MILF. Mumar.
Droppo.
Mumar and Droppo taking in turns. Yeah, but I don't know. I wouldn't trust that.
He says, yeah, the kids have escaped. They're probably on their way to Santa to warn him. Kemar calls for Torg to come out of the spaceship. He sounds like a very irate dad trying to call his kid down.
How does he say it? Do you remember?
Torg, come out of the spaceship.
Says it twice as well.
Yeah.
He repeats it. I was hoping for a third, but no, he just says it twice. And the kids are hiding, obviously. That's what the kids do. They're on the run.
Yeah.
Must be fucking freezing by now, but, you know, nobody seems to have mentioned the cold except for Andy fucking Henderson at the beginning.
Minus 91 degrees. These kids are out in just like... I mean, he had like bear skin on him or something. He was covered in like skins of animals. These two have just got like... woolly hats. And Betty says that she won't run anymore. She's cold and tired, so she stops.
Not understanding the thrill of the pursuit.
Well, they spot Voldar in the distance and they hide in a cave. And Voldar is about to enter the cave to find them, but he's interrupted by a low growl. What could this be, Ken?
This could be possibly the lowest point of the film.
Would you like to describe the lowest point of the
film? Fucking hell. I didn't actually know what this was supposed to be. I thought it was supposed to be like fucking a Yeti or something, a Sasquatch coming over the bloody hill. It's a man in a really, really shit polar bear outfit pretending just to be a real polar bear. Couldn't look any shitter. Honestly, it's fucking terrible. It's just a bloke in a white furry suit going...
I believe he's got a bearskin rug draped over him and a polar bear hat.
It's like he found out about it 2 days before he had to do it, and he had to just find whatever he could. Yeah. Okay, so we haven't got any budget. We just thought about it. How about a polar bear? Go for it. And he's had just to find whatever he's got around the house.
So you didn't enjoy it?
Fucking hated it. Awful. And for this to be the worst part of the film, it's got to be fucking bad. Because the film's not good in any way, shape or form. Couldn't believe what I was watching. I thought, this better not fucking go on for long, and it did.
It did. The polar bear tries to grab Billy and Betty, but can't reach inside the cave for ages. And then it fucks off.
Well, yeah, it does, because look out, here comes Torg.
Yeah, out of the frying pan and into the fire, I've written. What they thought was lights from Santa's workshop actually turn out to be Torg. Ken, what is Torg?
Torg is a giant toy fucking robot. It's so fucking ungainly, this thing. Why the hell would that be the thing that you take as a capture device?
When I first saw this, I thought Jermaine and Brett from Flight of the Conchords, when they were dressed as robots, looked more like robots than this fucking thing.
It was fucking awful, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's literally just a giant toy robot that can't fucking walk. It just walks and talks like the toy robot. That's it. It doesn't do anything. It can't do anything because it's so fucking rigid.
It's like a cardboard body.
Yeah.
The classic, like...
square head with the round eyes and the, like, round... I think it's like got buttons down it, hasn't it?
Yeah, and it's got, like, the... For the arms, it's like...
Yeah, like corrugated tubes.
Yeah, that's it,
yeah. Fucking awful.
And the great close-up of the terror on Betty's face as it gets closer and closer.
I was terrified too.
It was fucking great. Voldar turns up, Torg grabs the kids, and he demands that Torg crush the children to death.
Which would have redeemed him, to be honest, in my opinion.
Mm.
Yeah, I'd have took that. I'd have been like, oh, thank God for that.
Luckily, Kemar turns up and says he set Torg to only obey him, and he knew that Voldar would pull this sort of shit.
He's like, fuck you. Why am I even here then?
Yeah, if I can't do anything, what's the point?
I can't even kill these kids at any opportunity I get. There's no point.
He has the children taken back to the ship anyway. Get back. You're not going to warn Santa of shit. Voldar says Mars used to be the planet of war. Toys, games, laughing children, they'll spell the end of them.
It's true, it did. It is the planet of war, isn't it?
Mm. Now it's full of nincompoops, he says. Very harsh.
It is harsh, especially at Christmas.
We now get the scene of Torg smashing into Santa's workshop.
Mm.
This is thrilling. Wanky. He tries to cut him off at the pass.
Yeah, he almost slips over on Wanky's produce.
Winky, he gets his gets himself split in half when he tries to block him from getting to Santa. And Santa just laughs in its face and compliments how well it's made.
Yeah. He ain't got no concept of danger, has he, Santa?
No. Don't know what's in that pipe, but hashish.
Wanky's special hashish.
By the great dog star, Santa is treating him like a toy, says Kemar as they watch through the glass. He's become a toy, says Rignar, that's his name. I've written it down.
Rignar, well done.
Kemar says they will have to get Santa themselves now, and they storm the place and demand Santa comes with them. Voldar freezes the elves when they protest with his hair dryer that he's got as a gun.
Out of his shoe.
Yeah. Mrs. Claus appears again to bollock everyone for being lazy.
Yep, sure does.
Voldar turns babyface by freezing her mid-sentence, I've put.
Nice.
Torg won't obey Kemar's orders, and they surmise it is indeed true that Torg is nothing but a useless toy now. And best to leave him there.
What a waste of fucking time Torg was.
He did nothing.
How fucking big is he as well? How much space has he taken up on that fucking rocket? Right? And he's done nothing.
Yeah. Absolutely
he's turned nothing. He's turned up, a fucking bloke in a polar bear outfit's run off. He's done nothing there. He's almost got to kill kids, but failed. And now he's just walked in, Santa's called him a prick, and he's stopped still.
Killed an elf.
Oh, yeah, he did tear him asunder.
Yeah. But yeah, the only thing he did was break the door down, and it was already open.
Yeah, because it's Santa. He doesn't fucking lock his door.
No, of course he doesn't.
Old folk back in the day, isn't it?
Exactly.
Nobody robs Santa, except Martians.
Santa apologises to the frozen Mrs. Claus, saying he had nothing to do with this. And he says, "You know, my dear, I can't recall a time when you were so silent for so long."
See?
Even Santa's having a little dig.
Right, men? Right, guys out there? Yeah? Wouldn't that be nice, eh? Wouldn't that be nice? Then it wasn't even your fault. Fuck, it would be when she wakes up, no doubt. But still, somehow it'd be your fault. But still, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if she could hear all that, fucking hell, you're in trouble. Because if she's just frozen but can still hear what he's saying, he's going to get a kick in later. The rain falls and he goes.
We're surely halfway through the film, Ken. What are your initial thoughts on this so far?
I'm really enjoying it so far. It's breakneck pace. The characterization's spot on. Really enjoying the dynamic between bald arse and chemo. Liking that. Always got to have a bit of friction. They're providing it with aplomb. Santa, obviously, innocent party in all this. Can't wait to see where he goes with it. You know, so far he's just a lovable guy.
Haven't really seen him much, have we, in this first half?
No, well, that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping he's going to come into his own in the second half, teaming up with Billy and Betty, hopefully, and put the world to rights. And everyone lives happily ever after and sings a song. You know,
what about Guapo?
I hope he dies. I hope he dies a terrible death. I hope they leave him up on the North Pole and he freezes to death. Like Jack Torrance.
Yeah, more than likely.
Yeah.
In this kid's film about Christmas.
That's what I'd be going for.
Yeah.
Yeah, only to be revived by Wanky.
Second mention of Jack Torrance freezing to death in The Shining for this episode. Jack Nicholson's mentioned in this fucking podcast. If it's not this, it's Batman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, have you seen that?
No, I've never heard of it.
No, me neither.
We get shots of the newspaper saying Santa's been kidnapped by Martians. Mrs. Claus, she's given a statement confirming...
she's positively identified the kidnapper as a Martian. Yeah, you'd be fucking listening to her. You'd be like, oh, fuck's sake.
Yeah.
She's mental.
She's put a plea out for Santa to come home so she can fucking kick the living shit out of him.
Bollock him. Yeah, she's got nothing. You know, the house is all tidy. She's got nothing to tot about and go and needlessly tidy again. Fucking hell, women.
Is everything all right, Ken?
You know, he'll get home, won't be able to find anything because she's tidied it away, even though it was already where he wanted it, where it's always been kept. That kind of thing. Yes.
Hundreds of pounds of recording equipment just left outside.
Yeah, just thrown in a bin.
We hear that leaders of the world have gotten together to get a plan of action in place. Dr. Scott from Rocky Horror turns up to tell us about the plan to save Santa and go after those Martian monkeys, he says.
That's not very nice, is it?
Every one of our astronauts is begging for the chance to go after those Martians. Who wouldn't give everything to bring Santa back home to our children, he says. Would you, Ken? Would you give everything? Would you pay the ultimate price?
What? Suicide?
Yes.
The death of everyone that I love and hold dearly?
Yes.
To bring Santa back?
For all the children in the world.
How about I kill all the children in the world?
Then Santa doesn't come back.
Yeah. Would that be the option?
I think so.
Is it only one of those two?
I think that's it, yes.
Oh, dear. That's a tricky one, isn't it?
Mm.
No, I'd happily kill myself.
Okay, excellent.
There we go. So you're welcome, everyone.
Dr. Scott was right.
Yep, you're welcome.
Meanwhile, back on the spaceship, Santa has one of his captors literally shitting himself with laughter.
Yeah, I did the same. It's very, very funny.
This guy that's shitting himself says, I've got a joke that Santa just told me. What's soft and round and you put it on a stick and roast it in a fire and it's green?
Oh, that's very specific. I don't know.
A Martian mellow.
Oh, that's very fucking funny.
Everyone laughs except for Voldar.
Of course he doesn't. It's not fucking funny. He's the most realistic. He's just there thinking, you bunch of bastards.
He says, well, yes, and that's what you're all becoming, Martian mellows. That's what he says to them all.
He is harsh, isn't he? But entirely true.
Martian mellow nincompoop.
I mean, up for a bloody R-rated if he carries on like that.
Santa tries to cheer the kids up in the cell that they're ups
by getting his dick out.
His candy cane.
Candy cane.
They're upset because they feel it's their fault Santa's been kidnapped. And it is.
It is, yes.
You're true. It's true.
Yeah, rightly so. I mean, they wouldn't have fucking known where he was, would they?
No.
If the fucking kids hadn't told them immediately.
Mm.
Hello, we're Martians. Where's Santa? In the North Pole. Thank you. Don't.
And you know what? It's people's constant need to be right all the time. That's what that is. If you ask people for help, they don't fucking offer it. But when you tell people something incorrect, they'll correct you.
Oh, yes.
Like, does anyone know the number for this? Isn't it this? And they'll be like, no, it isn't, you idiot. It's this. Whereas if you went, oh, what's the number for this? People would just ignore you.
Yeah, they just go, why don't you look it up?
Yeah.
Why don't you Google it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Bastards. Human nature.
And to put his mind at ease, I think, Santa says, Balder Dash and a Fiddle Dee Dee, Billy Boy. Whatever the fuck that means.
I think it just means they're all going to have a hoedown.
Oh, nice.
Or a ho-ho-hoedown.
Balder Dash and a Fiddle Dee Dee. I like that.
Yeah, that was our wrestling tag team.
That was, yes. Balder Dash and Fiddle Dee Dee. You were definitely Fiddle Dee Dee.
Yeah, and you were Bollock Rash.
Just when things couldn't get any worse, I thought.
What would our gimmick be if those were our wrestling names?
Bollock Rash and Fiddle My D.
Fiddle with D. No, Balder Dash. What would yours be? You're like, you would just like maybe
just lie all the time.
Do a spear. Oh, good in a wrestling ring. Just not telling the truth.
And Fiddle My D is you just playing with yourself.
Yeah, with a violin.
Yeah.
Playing the violin on my pubes.
Yeah. Exactly. We weren't the most popular, that's true.
So you cut an eye Joe. It's very dancing around.
It was very niche.
Yeah, that's why we gave up.
Just when things couldn't get any worse, Droppo turns up, is what I've written.
For fuck's sake, here he is.
And Santa says, here's Droppo. If I can't cheer you up, Droppo can. He always makes me laugh in the 10 minutes you've known him.
Yeah, but so does everything, because I'm Santa and I'm always fucking laughing, as we discovered earlier.
More shtick from Droppo with the food pills. He eats Billy's chocolate ice cream, so to speak.
Polishes off his sausage.
Polishes off his shit sausage and makes him secrete his chocolate ice cream into his mouth.
Slurps down his chocolate ice cream.
Oh, dear me. My note is, he eats Billy's chocolate ice cream and comes in his little Martian pants. Whoops. Sorry about that.
Yeah, that's kids' films for you. This is what happens when we do kids' films. I don't know why. It just makes it worse.
He does, though, doesn't he?
He does, yes.
Ridiculously to that.
He acts like wanky.
Yeah. Pills for dinner. I suppose if a Martian has a headache, he doesn't take pills, he takes chocolate ice cream, laughs Santa.
He's a fucking funny bastard, isn't he, Santa?
So good.
You can see why he's popular.
Back with the Martians, and they can't work out how a spaceship is following them whilst their radar shields are on. Do they have a secret device? Asks Kemar.
A secret device that would counteract their secret device?
Yes.
Oh, fucking hell. That's two secrets.
They maybe do have a secret device, Ken.
What is it?
And his name is Billy Forster, says Voldar.
Yeehaw!
Because Voldar, yet again, he's spotted the problem and he's fixed it.
Yeah, he has. It's a fucking sabotage of the bloody ray, isn't he? Sabotage of the device.
Everyone else is sitting around scratching their own helmets, whereas he gets shit done and he works stuff out.
And each other's.
Voldar, he's had enough and he goes down to the cell to invite them on a grand tour of the ship. Santa, sensing no danger whatsoever, agrees to go with him. First stop on the tour is the airlock.
Yeah, there won't be any suspicion whatsoever, because suddenly the guy that's wanted to murder you since the second he met you is now being really nice and deciding to show you around.
He says, this is the... And as he is about to say airlock, the kid interrupts. Airlock, it's the airlock. Yeah. You're like, shut the fuck up.
Backhands him. So yeah. And as I was saying...
You don't hate that when kids do that. Yeah, like, yeah, we know, you know. It's not fucking...
I got this right. Get this right. When I was talking to my
Indian
son,
accent,
when I was talking to my son once, and he asked me a question, and I didn't know, and he said, "How do you not know? I know," and he was like, "And I'm only 5," and I was just like, "Yeah," and you've just fucking learnt it this week. I learnt it 30 fucking years ago. That's how I don't know, because I can't remember 30 fucking years ago, can I? When I learned something that never, ever fucking going to affect my life. And it will never affect yours either. So well done for knowing it now. But you'll never fucking need that information. Now fuck off. So Billy does. He knows a lot about the airlock and can't wait to tell everybody about it. And everyone's like, oh, fuck's sake, here he goes. Here he goes again about bloody airlocks. Isn't what always all these little kids going on about?
He said, yeah, and Billy says that once the door's shut, you have 60 seconds before the airlock opens out into space.
I mean, is that standard?
I think 60 seconds?
I mean, surely you could program that to be different.
Mm.
But he knows that this one is specifically 60 seconds.
Mm.
I don't know.
Betty says Billy wants to be a spaceman when he grows up.
Voldar says he's never going to grow up. He'll be dead soon.
Yeah. Voldar whispers, I'm sure it'll be sooner than he thinks.
Yeah. It's better than what I said.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah.
And shuts the door behind him. Santa, he's locked us in, says Billy. And Santa says, no, I don't think so. He's probably just stepped out for a moment.
Santa has no concept of danger, has he?
Absolutely none.
He's there thinking, it'll all be fine. Thankfully, the kids are there to save his fucking meaningless life, because otherwise Santa would just be sucked off into space.
Can think of worse ways to go?
By the kids.
Oh.
Yeah.
The kids say that they don't like Voldar, and the clock begins counting down. Kimari, he's gone upstairs, he's flipped the switch, the very futuristic-looking switch, yeah. like he's fucking starting the electric chair on someone. Fucking Green Mile, John Coffey. Kimar turns up as the countdown ends, because Voldar's counting it down out loud for us so we know where.
Good.
And he says zero, and then Kimar turns up, he says, who's in the airlock? And Voldar, looking very fucking pleased, says, no one. Now.
Oh, it's great. It's good dialogue. That and the he will be sooner than he thinks and this. Yeah. It's so good. I like that.
Mm.
It's evil, but only for the viewer.
Mm-hmm.
So only we know he's being evil. And he does, obviously. But everyone else, it's like seemingly innocuous comments said with an evil smirk.
He does have a smirk.
I like it.
Droppo turns up and says Santa and the children are missing. And then a fight breaks out.
Yeah. Very good fight, isn't it?
Between Kimo and Bear Arse.
it's absolutely brutal.
Not Bear Arse, Bald Arse.
Bald Arse.
That's it. Not
Bear Arse. That would be just ridiculous.
He's got his arse cut out of his suit.
Or he has the backside of a bear. Just yes. A very, very hairy one.
Yeah.
It's the opposite of Bald Arse.
I think Kimar's getting the upper hand on this, even though there's no way that would be the case.
It's not, no, but obviously, well, good has to prevail, though, doesn't it?
It's a
kid's film, so, you know, good will conquer, which is not a way to treat, you know, the children of today. Evil exists, and bad sometimes wins. You know, it's the way of the world.
If you're asking me, the kid should have died. Santa just saves himself.
Yeah, and that is what happens.
Yes.
No, of course not. This incredibly brutal and graphic fight is interrupted. Yeah,
think like a Scott Adkins fight.
Yeah, it is very, very nasty. Mm. All kinds of weaponry being picked up from their surroundings, just violently smashing into each other's faces.
I thought I was watching Ong Bak at one point, watching this bit.
Well, talking of who's back, it's Santa.
He comes in laughing like a fucking idiot.
He fucking does, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He loves a bit of violence, though, doesn't he? That's why he's laughing.
Yeah, wishes everyone a Merry Christmas. And he says, when Voldar accidentally left us in the airlock and then came up here and accidentally threw the door switch, we knew we had to get out of there quickly or it would be the end of us. Accidentally, of course.
Yeah. I think he's gone too far with the accidentally thing there, hasn't he?
So we accidentally crawled out the accidental air duct.
By accident. Unfortunately, I had an accident in the air duct, and that's what you can smell.
Accidentally.
That's what you can smell now, and that's not going away. That's stained.
But the air duct is so little, and you're so big, says Kimar in amazement. Cut to Santa and the kids laughing like absolute lunatics.
Fucking don't half laugh at that, don't they?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
And he says, why, you're talking to Santa Claus, son. And Kimo's like, don't call me fucking son, I'm the leader of Mars.
Fuck you. That's what he says.
Belittle me, you fucking red-faced fuck.
You patronising shit.
Voldar faints because he's been beaten so badly by Kimar.
It's only reasonable. It was a very, very vicious beating.
But Santa, quick as a flash, oh, he's fainted, just like someone who's seen a ghost. And they all laugh, including Kimar.
Yeah.
Imagine laughing at that sentence.
Yeah.
And they've all fainted like he's seen a ghost.
Yeah. Kimo doesn't even know what he's fucking laughing at. That's not funny in any kind. Even if you do know what Santa's talking about, it's not funny. But Kimo doesn't know what he's talking about and finds it funny.
Yeah, I was going to say, are there ghosts on Mars?
So just that.
Well, John Carpenter.
Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah.
Well, ask Marilyn him. Manson.
Ask him, he'll know. Yeah, so yeah, it's fucking rubbish. Anyway, back to the story, Baldar's escaped.
Yeah, they land on Mars. Kemar asks whatever that fuck's name is, go and free Voldar, take him to the prison, Martian prison. When he goes down there, it's not Voldar in the cell, it's Droppo.
It's fucking Droppo, the useless prick, man. What's he? How's he in there? Yeah. What was he doing around there?
The door was locked. All he had to do was give him his fucking food pills, and he's managed to unlock the door.
All he's had to do is not fucking even go in.
Yeah, just throw them through the cell door.
It's a fucking pill. It's not a real hamburger. Anyway, yeah, so he's locked in there instead. Voldar has escaped.
Santa's introduced to Kemar's family because they give up trying to look for Voldar. There's no way we could possibly ever find him.
Yeah, fuck it, he's gone.
Santa says, I'm not used to entering people's homes through the door.
Yeah, because he's a filthy break and enterer.
Kemar takes Billy and Betty through to meet Bomar and Gurmar.
Yeah, after quickly goosing Momar on his way past. Hello, hello. That's what he says. Welcome back.
Billy offers his hand to Bomar, and Bomar's like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, what the fuck is that?
He's like, I'm offering my hand so you can shake it. And Bomar starts twerking in front of him.
Shaking all over.
Oh, Gurmar, by the way, this is the film debut of Pia Zadora.
What the fuck is that?
She was a actor and model from the 80s, I think she was quite popular. She was in Butterfly. This is her first ever film, and she plays Gurmar.
I've never heard of whatever you said.
Pia Zadora.
Pia's Gorman.
Piers Morgan. That's him. This is the first film of Piers Morgan playing Gurmar.
That's him. Welcome. Welcome along.
And that's not all. They meet Santa.
Yeah, Santa comes in, and what he does is he just fucking laughs.
Yeah. And doesn't
pretty
stop.
Soon, pretty soon, well, no, it's not soon enough, to be honest with you. It takes fucking ages. He just stands there and laughs, and laughs, and he laughs, and then he laughs. And then he laughs. And before an hour has passed, everyone else has started laughing, except me, who turned the fucking TV off and left the house.
He's got his arms out in the air and he's laughing.
He's laughing like that. It's like, that's not laugh-inducing. No. That's irritating. It'd be irritating after 5 seconds, but he carries on and on and on. Soon everyone else just laughs because they've all gone totally insane.
Yeah, with the laughter.
Everyone's gone insane.
It's like a scene from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah, it is just ridiculous.
Kemar can't believe he hears laughter, and he and his wife go in to join them, and Droppo dances for a bit. That's my note.
Yep, I've got that. Everyone is laughing like fucking maniacs, and Droppo does a little dance. Yeah. That's what I've written.
Kemar tells Santa that they'll set a workshop up for him as soon as possible. Santa agrees as he wants to get back to his wife's nagging, is my note.
Can't wait to get home and get bollocked.
The amount of times I've heard you say that to me in real life, Ken.
Yeah, well, I'm keeping an eye on the time because it'll be happening today as well.
Kemar tells him he belongs to Mars now and he will never go back to Earth, just to break up this lovey-dovey.
Yeah, which stops the laughter.
Yes.
Although, no, to be fair, Santa does laugh again, but throws a little question mark on the end of his laugh.
Ha ha ha.
Ho ho ho. Like that.
We see Voldar in a cave with two twats we've never seen before. Who the fuck are these two? They've got capes. Are they in charge of something?
I don't know, but I think they're in charge of the cave.
Ah, yes.
But they're hatching evil plans.
One of the henchmen tells Voldar about the toy shop that's been set up, and he describes a slinky right to the camera for ages.
Yes, he does, yeah.
He's got a lovely smile on his face.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, isn't it? It's like a bloody eraser head. It's like that. Who's there? He says, it's me, Jim. And I thought, what, one of the aliens is called Jim? They've all got fucking ridiculous names, and one of them is just called Jim. And it turns out he's not. I didn't remember what his name was, but it's not Jim.
Shemp.
I think
Shimp.
It's Chim.
Shim.
Shim, yeah. It was a shame, because I actually thought, oh, brilliant, one of them is just called Jim. That was funny. And he wasn't, so fuck it.
Talks about Slinky for a bit. Voldar's livid, wants to not eliminate Santa, but discredit him. Make him a laughing stock all across Mars. With that said, he starts devising a plan.
Yeah, which we don't get to hear, do we? Because they all huddle and go and start going whisper, 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 whisper.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we sort of fade out, and then we open back up at the workshop.
Yeah, loads of tap being made in Santa's workshop. A conveyor belt, Santa's on the computer console. And that's what you were saying about earlier when you were saying, like, they don't need Santa on Mars to do this.
Yeah.
He's just sitting there pressing buttons.
Yeah, they've built it for him.
Yeah.
They've made this for him. All he's doing, he's sat there. And he also says, what's the fucking point of this?
Yeah.
He's bemoaning the technology and the automation of the whole process.
Yeah.
Which...
prophetic, years later.
Yes, and pathetic in this film. but yeah, he is. He's just moaning about how shit it all is. And you think, why have they brought him there for this? Anyone could have done this. Fucking bald ass could have been sat there just watching nothing happen.
Bah, just, a baseball bat.
Yeah, just pressing a button. That's all that's needed.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, have they got baseball up on Mars?
I haven't got my little... I'd have played it. Of course they don't. They got monster ball.
Oh, yeah. Play ball.
That's when you piss in each other's drinks and then you drink it.
Nice.
Put cat food in the sandwiches. Santa calls time on the day and they go home. Droppo asks Santa if he can try on his clothes and Santa says no, he isn't fat enough, and they all laugh at Droppo for not being morbidly obese.
Yeah, shame. If only he was morbidly something.
Santa puts his finger to bed.
He does, because he's been fingering all day, hasn't he? So he's tired out. He's absolutely exhausted from fingering buttons. Buttons, of course, is one of the elves that he's brought with him.
Yeah, Buttons is one of the mice from Cinderella.
Yeah, so he's been fingering buttons all day long, and he's tired out.
One of the elves is called Buttons. That's great. Yep, so he goes to bed. Kimar's worried about Billy and Betty and how sad they're becoming. And yeah. Momar tells him that he needs to send those children back home to their family and friends.
Because she doesn't like them.
No.
He's already got two kids, doesn't want another two. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, otherwise, why have you even bought them?
Yeah. Why didn't you just kill them? That is what she's probably thinking.
All they're eating
should have killed them.
All they're eating is hamburger and mashed potato and chocolate cake.
Yeah, so they might as well have stayed at home.
Yeah.
And done that.
Droppo, he's eating loads of food pills to fatten himself up as he does the Silence of the Lambs dance in front of the mirror.
Yep, dressing up as Santa, isn't he?
Yep, he's got Santa's clothes on, he's whacked some pillars down the trousers to make it fit, adds a fake beard. Not sure who made that for him. My note, the beard. Why has he got a fake beard up there? Who's making fake beards on Mars? Voldar, is that his,
yeah.
That's his profession.
That's what he does, yeah.
That's why he's just got the moustache.
Head beard maker.
Yeah.
Well, not head beard, that's just a beard.
Yeah, it's just a normal beard.
Not lower beard maker.
He puts the hat on, perfect fit, just over his helmet.
Yeah, as I used to. It's very snug, but yeah, you want to make sure it fits around the helmet. This is uncomfortable at Christmas.
Yeah, so he just keeps saying ho, ho, ho all the time. It's really fucking annoying.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Because Santa specifically said, don't fucking dress up as me. And he is.
Yep.
So it just goes to show that Droppo is an absolute bastard of a character. Can't be trusted to do fucking anything. Can't be trusted to just not do anything.
Mm.
That's all he's been asked to do, not to do anything at all.
Yeah.
Just go to fucking bed. No, he can't even do that. Idiot.
He realises his finger isn't tired and he sets off to the toy workshop to make some toys.
Mm.
Meanwhile, at the workshop, Voldar and his henchmen enter the workshop. I've said workshop a lot in the last few sentences.
I'll tell you what we haven't said. We haven't said a line that Voldar actually gives us. It was after the slinky talk. After we got all that slinky talk, Voldar warns us, or warns his henchmen, that soon, if it carries on like this, Mars will all be blithering idiots.
Yes.
And I know you like that phrase.
Yes.
He actually uses the phrase blithering idiots.
I love that phrase.
Yeah. And that's what Mars will be if we don't do something about this shit. So let's see what they're going to do.
Yeah, they turn up at the toy workshop and they see that Droppo, he's dressed as Santa and he's singing Jingle Bells.
Yeah, they're all in there. They're just trying to mess with the machine.
Yeah.
Aren't
we all?
Yeah, they're just trying to get in there.
Stick it to the man, mess with the machine.
Voldar's raging against it, but everyone else is just messing with it. And
That was our Rage Against the Machine cover band.
Messing with the machine.
Yes, we weren't all the way in on the political aspects.
Yeah, it was originally called Washing the Machine, but it just lacked the oomph, didn't it?
Well, people didn't think we were a music band. They were turning up with their laundry for us to do, so...
That's what we should call our laundrette. washing in the machine. That doesn't fucking sound right after all, does it?
They mistake Droppo for the real Santa and they take him back to the cave. The next morning, Santa tells Momar his new suit's missing and connects the missing Droppo to it, saying he's probably at the toy shop making toys in my suit.
The fucking bastard.
Yeah, we're going to have to wash that month before I get that back. They head off to work to make some more toys, and they find out that all the toys are coming out wrong because Voldar did mess with the machine.
Oh my god, it's happened.
Kimar inspects the toy shop and they realise Voldar has Droppo hostage, and he heads off after them.
The toys have got wrong heads on. Oh. They've got the wrong heads.
Yeah.
They're making baseball tennis rackets.
Wow.
What the fucking hell is that shit? That'd be a good game though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It would be good, wouldn't it? So you can actually hit it with the
netting.
Yeah, everything. And shit.
Mm-hmm. And then there's like bears with baby doll heads on them.
Yes. And babies with bear heads.
Good God. Loads of heads. That's cool. So Kimar, he fucks off to go and find Droppo. But luckily, he bumps into them in the hallway straight away. Yep. Literally as soon
there
as he leaves.
Thank goodness.
It's Voldar, and he tells him that they're keeping Santa Claus hostage. And Voldar sets out the terms for his release. Simple. Three things. One, destroy the toy machine. Two, send Santa and the kids back to Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Three, no more joy through toys nonsense on Mars.
He was going well, to be honest.
Yeah, to be fair, those first two is fine.
To be quite honestly with you, he could have destroyed the fucking machine instead of just messing with it to waste everyone's time.
To discredit Santa in the journey.
And
the
he's kidnapped him anyway, so fucking, what's the point?
Yeah.
He's already kidnapped him. He doesn't have to discredit him. He's got him. So, you know, he could have destroyed the machine.
Kimar agrees to these demands, but then does ask them that if they still have Santa Claus, are they sure that you have Santa Claus? And Kimar smiles and opens the door, and sure enough, Voldar sees that Santa is in there.
You know the cupboard that they're keeping Droppo in?
Yeah.
Because it's like supposed to be like prisoner, isn't it? But it's just a cupboard. There's a fucking water ski in it.
Oh, you mean when they move Voldar into the...
Yeah. Where they take them prisoner.
Yeah, because they show him Santa, and then Kimar's like, you two need to go into this cupboard with us. There's
a big old fucking water ski.
Yeah.
What the fuck are they doing with that on Mars?
Water skiing on Mars? Very, very popular. There's no water, but it's very popular. It isn't. That's why it's in the cupboard.
They've just locked it away.
Yeah.
I just thought, what the fuck's that doing there? Mm. Massive. It's just really just right there as well. Massive fucking water ski in that cupboard.
Voldar has no idea how this happened, and Kimar tells him it's because Santa Claus has powers he doesn't even know about.
Who doesn't? Santa doesn't.
Voldar.
Oh, right, okay.
Kimar directs the other Martians to search the caves for Droppo, and then locks himself in the cupboard with Voldar and his henchmen and the water ski.
And the water ski.
Droppo, meanwhile, messes about with the nuclear curtain, which is what they're called, and it's there to stop him from leaving the cave, basically. We've set up a nuclear curtain so you can't go through it. And Droppo just turns it off and fucks off.
Yeah, it's not as foolproof as it sounds.
No.
I mean, it sounds murderous.
Yeah.
And I think they did say you'd be disintegrated if you go through it or some shit.
All he had to do was turn it off because that Shemp guy or Shim or whatever his name is doesn't even
Jim.
Guard him. Jim, yeah.
Yeah.
Voldar overpowers Kimar in the cupboard. I think he actually hits down on the ski and it hits him in the face.
That's why you shouldn't have skis in the fucking cupboard.
Santa fixes the toy machine. He asks Billy to go to the storeroom to get some red paint. And when they overpowers Kimar, by the way, Voldar punches him in the face and knocks him out. And then they start plotting against Santa again. And Billy overhears it because he walks up to the cupboard and has a little listen.
So what you should do, if you're ever going into a cupboard, always have a quick listen first. See if there's anyone in there plotting.
As bad guys go, Voldar is fucking terrible. And the problem is, again, tale as old as time, he puts his faith in the henchmen that are just not fit for purpose. Yeah. He's fine. His two henchmen are fucking awful.
He's quite like ruthless and tenacious, isn't he? The fact that everything he does is going wrong, but he still insists on he's going to have to just carry on.
Mm.
He's going to do it regardless. And, you know, I like that. It's an admirable trait.
Yeah.
It was from Star Wars, if you remember, the Admiral.
Yeah, I believe it. Yeah.
Yes, that was him.
And with the fish head.
That's him, yes.
Yeah.
It's a trap.
Billy overhears this and then goes and tells Santa about it.
He says, telltale tit.
Oh, Billy, you're the telltale tit.
Ho, ho, ho.
and Santa devises a plan of his own with the kid's help. And what happens is, Voldar, he turns up to kill Santa. And he pretty much says, I'm going to kill you now.
Yeah, he's decided that, fuck all this. Why don't we just murder people?
Yeah.
We might as well. Everyone knows we're the bad guys. We keep getting stopped. Let's go out in a blaze of glory and assassinate everyone we can find.
Yeah. But instead, we get some fun music playing.
Oh, fucking hell.
As Voldar is hit with a water gun and various toys for a long time.
I will retract my previous polar bear statement in that this is the worst part of this film.
Mm-hmm.
This for me was more painful than the polar bear. I hated that, admittedly, but at least it was relatively brief.
Mm.
This just does not fucking go away.
Yeah.
It is awful, and there's nothing remotely threatening about anything that's happening.
Yeah, this makes the custard pie scene at the end of Bugsy Malone look like Saving Private Ryan's opening
scene.
Honestly,
they're terrified of nothing happening, and nothing does happen. So they were right to do that. But honestly, it's like the tiniest little fucking toys coming at them.
Yeah, there's a lot of kids. You can tell they had fun.
Yeah,
shooting
of course,
this.
Of course it looks like it's fun, but not for fucking watch it.
No, because Voldar is like reacting to everything that gets thrown at him. He's throwing stuff back at the kids and...
Yeah, it looks a bit of a laugh, but not for us.
Yeah, not for anyone.
Not for me, anyway. No. Definitely not for me, fucking hell. I don't even enjoy myself when I am having fun. So not doing this, certainly not.
Santa's laughing maniacally all the way through. He's got a bubble pipe. There's bows and arrows being used.
Bubbles. Ah, no, bubbles. Not a chimp, obviously. Could be terrifying if he used his animal strength.
Little army men, they appear, don't they, in front
of
him.
They're fucking tiny. Yeah. You stand on them.
It's not like Pat Morita's army men from Babes in Toyland.
Exactly.
You're
right.
Fucking
trouble
with
6 foot fuckers. No, these are just little shitty toys coming at you. But they make them look like they're really big, but they're just on the floor. Just stamp on them.
Mm.
A fucking massive bloke, this bloody bald-ass fuck.
Droppo turns up and is nearly killed by the henchman that's waiting outside, but Kemar wakes up and saves him.
Yeah, I wish he was.
Kemar enters the toy shop, gets Voldar and his henchmen led away. They arrest him. And then Santa tells Kemar that he doesn't need him in Mars, as they have their very own Santa here, Droppo.
Fucking hell.
Who turns up doing the ho-ho-ho-ing?
He does indeed.
Just does that constantly. It's so fucking annoying.
Damn right it is.
Everyone laughs and we fade to black and then we go back to the Martian's house and it's Momar.
And then we fade back up from black and we're still fucking there.
Yeah, it faded to black and I thought, oh, there we go. That's the end.
I thought, thank fuck for that.
Nope, back and it's Momar. She thanks Santa for bringing happiness to the children of Mars. And then Kemar says... And the Christmas spirit to all of us.
Mm-hmm. I must admit, I teared up at that point.
Yeah. Droppo turns up, ho-ho-hoing all over the place.
Yeah, I got very angry again, straight after.
Santa tells Billy and Betty that if they hurry, they can make it back in time for Christmas Eve.
And they go, fucking hell, really?
Yeah.
Seems like we've been here for months.
Yeah. And Santa says, Merry Christmas, everyone. And away! He actually shouts, and away, and lifts his hand in the air and fucks off.
And then just falls off Mars.
Yeah.
Into space.
Yeah. The theme song plays as we see Santa's frozen corpse flash past us on the screen, and the movie comes to an end. So what did you think, Ken? Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
I'll tell you what I did enjoy. I liked, during the end credits, the lyrics are on the screen, so you can have a little sing-a-song all the way through, which I did partake in, you know, with me being all festive and fucking joyful.
Yeah.
I sang along the Santa Claus. Oh, yeah. Loved it. So much fun to be had. And then I punched myself in the dick.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
No, well, I do it all the time. No, I didn't like it, Dom.
Really?
I didn't like the film.
No.
I thought it was shit. Thought it was shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, awful.
What did you think to Santa?
Annoying.
Was he a good Santa? Is Santa's go?
Santa's go. I mean, he looked the part, didn't he? I mean, I suppose if you've got the template of Santa, you'd be hard pushed to go wrong.
Is he as good as Bill Goldberg?
unless you're going to bring some up like Bill Goldberg and Hulk Hogan, perhaps. But apart from that, Yeah, he fit the bill, didn't he?
Yeah.
He did it. He worked it. He looked like Santa, sort of laughed a bit like Santa, I guess.
Yeah, he was a pretty good Santa, I think.
Without being an expert on Santa, I think, yeah, he did well.
I think we could consider ourselves experts on Santa now. This is...
I think you're right. Okay, then, yes. Yes, in terms of Santa, on our Santa chart.
Yeah. This is our fourth Christmas special now, so...
Is it? Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, someone might listen to one.
Yeah, I hope so. Cheers to that.
Yeah, so in terms of Santa then, on our Santa pie chart, what do you think? About 68%?
He's 68% Santa, yeah. I think you're right.
68%, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because there were times, like, getting told off by his wife. Although, I don't know, I may push him up slightly higher. I may give him 74%.
Really?
Because it was the first time that Mrs. Claus was in film.
Mm.
So I think, you know, he's got a home life now. So he's added another layer, hasn't he, to the world of Santa.
What about Hulk Hogan as Santa? Where's he on the pie chart?
I would say probably about
12% Santa. Yeah. He's got the suit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's pretty much just Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jim Belushi in Jingle All the Way?
Hmm.
Bit higher.
He's higher than Hogan.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
Higher than Hogan.
Y'all are high on Hogan. Yeah, I'm going to say he's probably like 22%.
Yeah.
He's hopefully nobody's adding up all the percentages because no. I think we've already breached the 100. I think we'll go from Santa as 100% for each one individually. But yeah, no, I'd say that. I mean, the Big Show. The Big Show is Santa in the same film. I'm not sure he's not that. He's probably about 8%.
He's less than Hogan.
Yeah.
Hogan thought he actually was Santa.
Yeah, whereas the Big Show is just a very large man.
With a beard.
Who says Bob.
Yeah. Stick your holes, Bob.
Yeah, so I don't know about that. And he kills a midget. So.
I'm not a pervert.
Yeah, that's it. That's the Big Show.
I was just looking for Turbo Man doll. How insensitive.
He got two. So yeah, any other Santa we carrying on with that?
I think that's the only thing we've ever covered with Santa, isn't it?
What
were the Christmas specials? Jack Frost was the first one. Santa with muscles.
What about fucking Santa and the Ice Cream Bunny?
Oh fuck me,
you motherfucker!
1% that guy. Mind you, he's probably more than the other two because he actually. But he's thin, so he's got some wasting disease.
He was
on a beach though.
He was Santa in LA.
Yeah. He's very upset about being marooned.
No, he's fuck all. No, 0% for me, that one. Yeah. No, just because the film was so shit.
So does this not beat Santa and the Ice Cream Bunny?
What, for being shit?
Yeah.
No.
No.
No, that's worse than this, but this is pretty shit.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
So Santa and the Ice Cream Bunny is still the benchmark for terrible Christmas films that we've covered?
Yes.
Because I know that Babes in Toyland got close for you. So where is this? Is this worse or better than Babes in Toyland?
This is... Oh, it's a difficult one.
I mean, this is more Christmas-centric than Babes. That's just set at Christmas for the first bit.
Mm. No, I'd say this is better.
Than Babes in Toyland?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Nice.
Yes, because there's not as many shit songs in this as there was in that.
Yeah, there was some.
And that's all I'm going on. That's all I'm basing it on.
Yeah, there's one, isn't there? There's one song in this, and it's at the beginning and it's at the end.
Yeah, so it's still only the one song. It's just repeated.
Yeah.
So no, this is not as bad as Babes in Toyland, which in turn was not as bad as The Ice Cream Bunny.
Yeah.
Which is fucking awful, and I wish it was dead and everyone involved with it.
Speaking of wishing things was dead, should we end this episode of the podcast?
We should. However. What if Carl Weathers was Santa?
What if Carl Weathers was Santa?
What about this film then?
How would it go?
He'd have to be Santa.
He wouldn't be abducted, would he? You know, in Scrooge.
He would, but he would be under the impression he was going for good.
Mm.
So he would willingly go to spread joy, as I think this Santa would if they hadn't just broken in and tried to kill his wife.
Do you know in Scrooged?
Yeah.
The night the reindeer died with Lee Majors.
I do indeed, yeah.
Maybe something like that to abduct him initially. A big shootout.
That would be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And then he is ultimately abducted.
Okay. Yeah, so, yeah, all right. And then taken to Mars, where he befriends the kids.
I don't think so. I think they just tag along and he's just reluctantly...
He kills them?
No, but he's just reluctantly caring for them. But he doesn't really like kids.
It's just his job.
It's just a job.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like that. Does he have sex with a Martian?
With the MILF?
Yeah, of course he does. Yeah. Nice one. Good work.
Yeah.
I think that's all we need then. The opening set piece.
And obviously kills Voldar instantly. I mean, this guy's a fucking blithering idiot, as he says himself.
Yeah, as he uses...
He's a nincompoop, a blithering idiot.
Oh, goodness me.
And a Martian mellow. He's all of those things combined. Carl Weathers would kill him instantly.
I think Carl Weathers calls him all those as well.
Yeah.
One at a time throughout the film. And then eventually, murders him.
Yeah.
Or self-defense. I think he won't kill him. He's about to. Then he remembers who he is. He's Santa Carl Weathers. And doesn't kill him. And as he's walking off with his sack.
yes. Voldar raises the hairdryer.
Raises his mighty weapon.
And then Carl Weathers candy cane through the eye.
Yeah.
Like
both eyes.
Wow.
Yeah. Double hand.
Nice. Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. Straight through. Both. Salutes. And
it's got a grenade attached to him as well. So his head blows up.
Yeah. Of course it does. Yeah. Why not? That's perfect. Perfect Santa. That's 100% Santa, that is.
Hooray for Santa Claus. That can play afterwards.
Yeah, but that'd be great, though, wouldn't it?
If Carl Weathers was in this, it fucking would
Santa,
be, yeah.
Santa Carl Weathers.
Yeah.
That'd be fucking amazing. Yeah. It's all right. I just wanted to get Carl involved.
Yeah, and I'm glad you did.
Yeah. You know, I didn't want to end it without that. We're not doing a pitch, but that'll do.
Makes me feel better about the film. So would you prefer this film if Carl Weathers was Santa? I'm sure you would, but if you do agree, let us know. Email address badmoviecult@gmail.com. Thank you for listening to this episode. A Merry Christmas to the lot of you.
I don't even know when this is out. What is this one? Is this our first Christmas one?
This is the first one. This is before Christmas.
So
and then...
we look forward to our next Christmas episode then. We'll see you next time for more Christmas fucking shit.
Yeah, but until then...
Merry fucking Christmas, everybody.
See you next time.
Ho, ho, ho.
Hooray for Santa Claus.
Carl Weathers. Hang up that mistletoe. Soon you'll hear ho, ho, ho. On Christmas Day, you'll wake up and you'll say, hooray for Santa Claus. S-A-N-T-A-C-L-A-U-S. Hooray for Santa Claus. S-A-N-T-A-C-L-A-U-S. Hooray for Santa Claus. I wonder what a vagina looks like.